This is 2012
with Kaz Tran
on Triple J.
I've got a chat now with the Temper Trap, who have a brand new self-titled album due out at the end of this week, and we'll be featuring it in the lead up to its release. I spoke to Toby Dundas, who is drummer with the Temper Trap, on the phone in the last few days in the UK. And the day that I spoke to him, they had just played their very first live show for a proper album tour around England. And Toby gave me the impression on the phone that the guys are pretty damn well pleased to finally be able to throw open the latches and get out on the road to play new songs from this new album.
We've kind of been in limbo for the past few months when, you know, the album's completely finished. And you're kind of playing a few of the songs live, but no one's heard it, and you're kind of just waiting for it to come out. We've just been really excited for it to be out, so that, you know, people have had the chance to hear it and start to see what they think about it.
Yeah. So tell me about you guys all entering into this sort of creative phase of, you know, creating new music. You've been based in the UK for what, 3 years?
Yeah, that's right. You know, coming out of Australia, it was a great place to kind of get it all going. We were always excited to kind of get the chance to play in other places as well. And, the move to London has been a good one. There were definitely some tough moments, but, you know, looking back over the past 3 years, I don't think any of us would change anything that happened. It's been a great experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely been a great base to travel, do all the sorts of festivals that you've been invited to and have played. But when it came to sort of having to batten down the hatches and put yourself through kind of a pressure cooker situation for writing songs for the new album, how did it feel to sort of do it so far away from home?
It kind of had just started to feel like home in many ways, I guess. We're all set up there, and we all had a kind of our own little flats with our girlfriends and stuff. So they definitely felt like a good place to write. We toured for probably 2.5 years, and off the back of that, we kind of said, all right, we'll take, you know, a month or 6 weeks off and take some time to just chill out and then get into writing. And then after about, I think it was about 2 weeks, we all just started calling each other and going, hey, what are you doing? We go jam this or do that. And we were just bored, ready to kind of, for it to happen. So we got a little rehearsal space in Hackney, which is kind of really close to where we were all living. And we just sort of, just started going in there every day. And there were bits and pieces of songs that people had been working on, over the touring cycle, and started working on those. And it was a good place to start London. But yeah, like I said before, being able to, you know, having the luxury, I guess, of being able to jump on a plane and get a house in Spain somewhere for a couple of weeks and just have this really intensive, 18 hours a day of jamming and writing and just living and breathing music was a great thing as well.
Was there a time in the recording process that you guys were considering coming back to Australia to record this album?
Not really. I guess it's always pretty dependent on the producer you work with. So obviously London was one option because we were living there and it would be really convenient. But when we started talking to Tony, he's got a studio in LA, and it just made real sense to kind of go there to work in his studio. You know, he's got all his toys there. He knows the room. It's kind of home ground advantage, if you will. So, we decided to decamp there. And again, it kind of fortuitously worked out. Having the sort of LA sunshine, something that can't be underestimated when the other option was kind of, you know, being in the snow in London. And that just kind of really helps your frame of mind when you're going into the studio sort of 12, 14 hours a day. And it was a great little studio, really kind of really good vibe. And Tony had a bunch of amazing gear that really had, you know, a dramatic effect on the sound of the record. And it wouldn't have sounded the way it does if we recorded it in a different studio.
That is Temper Trap drummer Toby Dundas talking about the initial phase of recording this new album, their self-titled records with Tony Hoffer in LA. Let's hear a song from it, which I'll explain. Well, Toby will go into further detail about where the... give us some more elaboration on the inspiration for this song. It's called London's Burning.
Another night of rioting in England as police clash with youths in several cities.
You went to the stores that you'd applied for a job at?
Yeah.
I went across that. I went Clapham, yeah? To go where I handed out a CBL that year. You didn't want to reply back to an email. All that, yeah, this is a payback, isn't it? Payback, right? And what about you? Any bad feelings at all? Have you ever thought about it at night when you've been sleeping in your bed? No, because I'm watching my plasma that I just got. Seems like Christmas came early.
Track with a lot of menace in it. It is The Temper Trap and a song from their self-titled album, London's Burning. It is just a few days away from release on Friday, in fact, and you're going to be hearing a whole lot more from it this week as we feature it here at Triple J. The album follows on from Conditions, which was hugely successful for them around the world, largely owing to a little song called Sweet Disposition. You'll hear how the guys from The Temper Trap dealt with the pressure of creating a follow-up album to that very soon. But as you've been hearing, they have been based in the UK for about 3 years, and they got to experience the rather frightening intensity of the London riots up close, an experience which obviously rattled them but also inspired that song you just heard. Toby Dundas from Temper Trap gives us some more details.
Yeah, it's not something I'll forget quickly. We'd seen what had happened in Tottenham the day before, and kind of, you know, there were a lot of rumours flying around that other stuff was going to kind of go down, and Hackney, where we live, was kind of one of those trouble spots. We were in the studio that day, which is also kind of in Hackney, and just kind of these rumours started flying around, and the guys at the studio kind of coming in and kind of letting us know that, you know, maybe it would be best to kind of head off. I remember that walk home, people just boarding up their shops, and the streets were kind of really empty, and this kind of sense of fear in the air, and kind of police cars flying past you with sirens blazing, and then kind of helicopters flying overhead, and starting to smell smoke in the air. And where Dougie lives is about 30 metres from where one of the big kind of Hackney kind of standoffs took place. You know, hearing the helicopters go over you as you see them kind of flying around and showing shots of cars burning and kind of just these groups of people kind of swarming all over the place. It was, yeah, it was really strange and quite a visceral experience. And, you know, obviously had a strong effect on Dougie because he came back quite quickly with the lyrics to that song. And the music kind of already existed, but strangely kind of had quite a number of elements that people probably think were kind of added to kind of add to the kind of riot atmosphere. But, you know, it was one of those strange things where it was almost like the music was kind of waiting for that to happen, and for those lyrics to come to kind of complete the picture of the song.
How would you compare the experiences of recording this album and Conditions? You probably would have had a lot of people in your ear saying, you know, well, you know, is there a song like Sweet Disposition, and how's this album going to compare to that? Did it make you guys kind of really sort of lean on each other a lot more, focus a lot more inwardly?
Yeah, you're right. You know, when we first started, we did definitely try and kind of just isolate ourselves from any of the kind of pressures that you know, come from the expectations of people around you, and just let the songs kind of, you know, come out naturally for as long as possible. We kind of, I guess, in a lot of ways, tried to ignore, you know, any success that we'd had with songs off Conditions. We didn't want to write Conditions 2, I guess, and you just got to, like, you know, have bringing Joseph into the fold and all of us kind of having song ideas as well, just kind of let them all come out and see what the direction the songs, I guess, are kind of taking you before you kind of map out the direction you think you should be going. To a certain extent, that definitely worked. You know, we had quite a large body of songs before we started playing them to the labels and management. And obviously when you kind of let the songs out of the band's own little bubble, that's when, you know, when you start to get feedback and stuff from people, that's when you kind of realize there's all this pressure and kind of expectation. And that was, you know, tricky at times, but I think we were able to kind of lean on each other and be confident in the direction that we were going, that it was the right one, and feeling the songs rather than kind of analysing what a successful song might be and trying to copy that. You know, we were able to steer away from that pretty much the whole time. And then, you know, finding Tony again, he really kind of enhanced that process, and I guess was a buffer at times between any sort of outside pressures when we were actually recording.
Did he give you some tips on, you know, sort of protecting yourself and keeping focus and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, lock the front door when the labels say they're coming in to listen to the demos.
That was genuine advice. Yes, Toby Dundas from The Temper Trap talking about the process of making their self-titled album, Our Feature, this coming week on Triple J. And here's another track for you right now from it. This one's called Never Again on 2012.